Going to sing a medley.
Hey, lots of songs aren't familiar songs, so if you want to sing along, tunes are familiar. It's just a medley of Christmas songs. So if you want to sing along with us.
Thank you.
a joy it is to worship the Lord.
Amen.
We will be having services tonight, 6 o'clock this evening, in case some of you would like to come out and worship with us here. Brother Ryan's going to be bringing us a message tonight, and come out and be with us if you possibly can. What a joy it is just to be here today and to enjoy your presence. And Brother Johnny, do you have a Christmas song for us today?
Amen.
I didn't know if you had any Christmas songs in your repertoire or not. Kind of figured you might. He's kind of singing bass today. He's just getting over whatever it was that he had.
Amen. Good morning, everyone, and Merry Christmas. You know, over the past 2 years, you know, I have humbled myself, and I've drawn closer to my Lord Jesus.
Amen.
And he has promised in his precious word that if we humble ourselves and draw close to him, that he will draw close to us.
That's
Amen.
Right.
Please. When God created man, his work was not yet done. He's still long for us to know the glory of his Son. So he drew closer. He drew closer. The promise that he gave, his covenant to man. Now even with the angel's word, some could not understand. So he drew closer. My Lord drew closer. Now listen, my friend. From heaven to the manger, the distance disappeared. When God himself drew close enough to whisper in our ears, he's waiting here now. Forgiveness can be found. Disappear when God himself drew close enough. see. Rejoin closer to me.
This morning we're reading from Luke chapter 2, first 7 verses of this chapter. Luke chapter 2, verse 1, and it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, under the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. I want to talk this morning for a few minutes about Christmas, because to us Christmas marks the time when God came down into this world and was born of the Virgin Mary in Bethlehem. We all know that. We're going to talk about Christmas and what it means to us today. I believe that Christmas is Jesus enduring a human birth so that you and I might experience a spiritual birth. The details of his birth are set forth here in the Bible in our text. When this decree of Augustus Caesar, we talked about him in Sunday school, brought Joseph and Mary from Nazareth down to Bethlehem, so that the words of the prophet Micah, back in chapter 5 and verse 2, a prophecy that had been given about 730 years before, might be fulfilled, that the Christ child would be born not in Nazareth, but in Bethlehem. So Jesus was born. God was made flesh to dwell among us, to personally experience the troubles and the trials, the sorrows and the heartaches, the pain and the suffering that is so common to mankind. We're told in the Bible that he was touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Think about that when you get sick and your body begins to ache, that our Lord Jesus has experienced that same feeling. He bears our griefs and carries our sorrows, the prophet Isaiah tells us. But Jesus was born so that you and I might be born again. Had Jesus never been born, then you and I could not be born again. It was because he came into our world that you and I may go into his world, where he lives. He was made like us so that we might be made like him. Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. This new birth is brought about by our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. When we trust him as our personal Savior, we are born again. So Jesus was born a human birth so that you and I might be born again and have a spiritual birth. Also, Christmas is Jesus occupying a stable on earth so that you and I might occupy a mansion in heaven. Think about that. When Joseph and Mary arrived in Bethlehem, we're told there was no room for them in the inn. They had to find lodging in the stable. And while they were there, that baby Jesus was born. And when he was born, he was laid in a manger. Now, a manger is an animal's feed trough. And I'm sure that they lined it with hay before they put him in that little manger. No one would expect the Son of God, God the Son, the King of glory, to be born in such a humble place as a stable. It seems to me that even the most elegant, the most extravagant, the most expensive, the most beautiful royal palace would not have been worthy of such an occupancy as he. We read in the Bible that back in the days of Moses, the presence of God came down and dwelt in the tabernacle. Now, tabernacle is a tent. God lived in a tent, if you please, his presence in a tent for 490 years before Solomon built a temple for the presence of God. And now we see him as he comes in a body of clay to tabernacle among us. We see him, a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. But he came to a manger so that we could go to a mansion. Jesus tells us in John chapter 14, he said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. He's preparing a mansion for us. Now, the Apostle John saw it, and he describes it for us over in the book of Revelation, chapter 21. He says that it has the glory of God, lighted with like a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. Must be a beautiful place. Has walls of jasper, gates of pearl, streets of pure gold, lighted by the glory of God. And the people that live there are free from death and sorrow and crying and pain. So Jesus was born in a manger so that we might have a mansion. Christmas is Jesus having an earthly mother so that we might have a heavenly father. Think about that. That baby Jesus that was conceived yonder by the Holy Spirit in the womb of Mary. The angel told her that she was highly favored, that the Lord was with her, that she was blessed among women. And Mary, as Buddy sang for us a few minutes ago, had the privilege of nursing that God infant. She had the privilege of watching him grow up. When he was a little baby, she watched him as he turned over for the first time by himself. And she watched him as he began to crawl. And she watched him as he grew. She dressed him as he grew into manhood. And she loved him. And Jesus, by his coming, has brought us into a new relationship with God. Read through all of the books of the Old Testament and see the relationship between God and the people of the earth. It was different after Jesus came, because Jesus told us that God, the creator of heaven and earth, is now our heavenly Father. And he says, when you pray, say what? Our Father. Our Father. New Testament says, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. John writes, beloved, now are we the sons of God. There's a different relationship because Jesus came. And our Father loves us. Blessed is the person who has God as their Father. Christmas is Jesus taking the form of a servant that you and I might be set free from the servitude and the bondage of sin. He became a servant that we might be set free. He was made a little lower than the angels, the Bible says, for the suffering of death. He made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of man. Remember the incident that took place at the Last Supper in that upper room before Jesus went out to the Garden of Gethsemane, where he was betrayed by Judas. After they'd finished the meal, the Bible tells us that he lay aside his garments and took a towel and he girded himself and he poured a container full of water and he got down and washed the disciples' feet and he wiped them with the towel and he told them, the servant is not greater than his Lord. Neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. And because of Jesus, we who were once servants in bondage to sin and to Satan have been set free. On Sunday mornings in Sunday school, we're studying the book of Romans, and in the 8th chapter, we've been studying about how that we've been set free from the law. We've been set free from sin and death. Jesus tells us that he is the truth, and he said, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. He said, if the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. So Paul writes in Romans, being then made free from sin, you become the servants of God unto righteousness. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made us free from the law of sin and death. Jesus became a servant that you and I might be set free, and we're to use our liberty in Christ to be the servants of God. Christmas is Jesus being welcomed at his birth by the lowly shepherds, so that you and I might be welcomed by the angels. You'll remember when Jesus was born, there were shepherds watching their flocks at night in the fields of Bethlehem. And the angel of the Lord appeared to them. And he announced, "I bring you good tidings of great joy. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ, Messiah, the Lord." That's Jesus. So they left their lambs and went to the manger, where they saw the Lamb of God. The Bible says they went forth and made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. They went out and spread the word as first-hand witnesses that God is come to earth in the form of man. Jesus tells us in Luke 15 that there is joy in heaven in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. Now, there's a theological argument we could get into about whether it's the angels that are rejoicing or whether it's the saints in the presence of angels that are rejoicing. We'll not get into that. But anyway, we know that whenever somebody gets saved, there is rejoicing in heaven. He tells us that. It's like an expectant mother that goes through the birth pangs. And her husband is out in the waiting room, pacing the floor, anxiously waiting the birth of the child. Probably grandpa and grandma are there too, maybe some other friends, but everybody is anxious. And finally the doctor comes and steps into the room and says, "It's a boy," or "It's a girl," and everybody is happy. Now that's the way it is in heaven when a soul is born again. It's kind of like the preacher's preaching. Finally he shuts up and gives the invitation. During the invitation, someone's heart is convicted by the Holy Spirit, and they step out and come down the aisle, and the announcement is made that so-and-so has accepted Christ as their personal Savior, and the whole congregation says, "Amen." And the mother begins to weep with joy. And unseen by us, there are waves of joy that roll across heaven among that great host of the redeemed. A sinner has come home. There's joy and rejoicing in heaven. And let me close this morning with this. Christmas means that Jesus has come down so that you and I might go up. Amen. Jesus said, "No man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven." He said, "The bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world." Amen. Christmas Day so long ago, Jesus, the Son of God, came down from heaven. And because he came down from heaven, you and I have the privilege of going up. Amen. He called to old John yonder on the Isle of Patmos. He'd been banished, taken out of the pulpit of his church at Ephesus, put on that lonely Isle of Patmos. But he said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day.
Amen.
And when you read over there in Revelation, John says, I heard a voice from heaven. You did? What did it say, John? He said, that voice says, come up hither.
Amen.
Come up hither. And you read a little further over in Revelation, and you've got two witnesses over there in Jerusalem. They're testifying of the grace of God. There's a fellow that didn't like them, so he killed them. Their bodies lay out in the street out there. Everybody would look at them. And you know what? On the third day, those bodies came alive. And they stood up on their feet. And again, the voice came from heaven, come up hither. And they went up.
Amen.
And the Bible tells me, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be what? Caught up. Jesus came down that we might go up, and we'll be caught up together to meet them in the clouds and meet the Lord in the air. What a joy Christmas is, all because of Jesus. Let's stand together, please, with our heads bowed in prayer. Heavenly Father, we gather here today to worship you in spirit and in truth. We thank you, Lord God, that you sent your only begotten Son into this world. Oh, we remember John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. What sorrow there must have been in heaven that day when Jesus came down from heaven to Bethlehem's manger. But what joy his coming brought to this earth, because now we have a Redeemer. Now we have salvation. He said, I'm come to give life to the world. And we thank you, Father, for that gift of eternal life that you give us, the greatest gift that could be given to man, eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. A gift is something to be received. It's not something that we can earn by working. It's not something that we merit or deserve. But it's a gift of your abundant grace. And you give salvation to everyone who believes in the Lord Jesus Christ. The scripture tells us, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And Father, there are many of us in this congregation today who have already accepted that gift of Christ. And having him, we have eternal life. And we have the assurance of salvation through his shed blood on the cross of Calvary. When he was made to be sin for us, he who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And Father, today, if there's one here in this congregation who does not have the assurance of salvation in their hearts, I pray that today will be the day when they will come and accept the gift. For the gift of God is eternal life. Accept the gift that you're offering to each one of us. And we'll give you the praise, the honor, and the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Number 497 in your hymn book. Let's sing a verse of invitation here. Somebody today may need a gift. I don't know what you received this morning, if you received anything or not, but today God God offers you the greatest gift that's available, the gift of salvation, eternal life. Will you take it today?
Just
come as we sing. Just as I am. This thought in your heart. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Let me say it again. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. As we're dismissed in prayer this morning, Brother John Simpson, will you lead us in our benediction, please?